for the next verse. I'm sorry about that. Oh no, it's not. In hope of eternal, let's start at one. Paul, the servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Let's go to Romans 3:4. Again, it just shows, God forbid, yea, let God be truth, but every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in the sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Okay. So now we're going to go to, let's see. Let's go to Hebrews 6. 17 through 20, Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show us, or show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was possible for God to lie, which we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now we're going to go to Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. And I think we all know this, but we're going to go over it anyways because it's so important to where we know God is the same always. He's always the same. He will never change. And furthermore, we go to John 1, 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without him. And then we go down to verse 14. It says, the Word was made into flesh, meaning he's always been. He's been since the beginning. Always. The only time the Trinity has not been in sync is when Christ was dying on the cross for our sins. God answered every prayer that Jesus made except for one, and that was asking him if it was due to sin, asking him if this cup could pass, but he's like, let me do your will, Father. That's the only time God never answered his prayer, because it had to do with sin. Plain and simple, because our sin had to be paid for, and we had to have that perfect sacrifice. And let's go to James 1:17. James 1:17. James 1:17. It says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So I have two more on this side that I meant to put over here, but it kind of coincides with promises. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And this is talking about the gospel. And there's only one gospel. There's no other gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also ye are saved, if ye keep in the memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all them which I have also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's see. I'm gonna read a couple more verses. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen once of whom the great remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So basically, what this this is saying right here is there's so much evidence that he is who he said he was. There were witnesses. He had the multitudes that seen him after he rose from the grave. Everything. You know, God's word is not void, and he always backs his word up, and he always plants a seed. You know, that's what we're talking about with the gospel. You know, we don't save anybody. We're the tool. We're the instrument. We plant seeds, like Bob was saying. You know, yesterday I got a chance to witness a couple of people. You know, it was just a fact of eternity's forever, and it never stops and never ends. It keeps going and going and going and going. So we have to look at ourselves. Of we know we're saved by the blood of Christ, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9. There's so many verses, but we have to look at the ones who deny it, who are ignorant of it, because eternity's forever. And you know, I wouldn't want to be in hell for eternity. Maybe a little bit. So now I want to focus on the promises of God. The first one's a little bit heavy, but it's God keeps his promises. Let's go to Genesis 2:16-17. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. From there, we're going to go to Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all. All means all. There's no exclusion. All can never mean anything but that. Myself included, probably more so. Everybody here, we're all sinners. Then we go to Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. We earn this from sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's through Christ. It's not through our works. You know, this is something that, you know, me and Pastor Joe, we actually got to see this in person, but we got to go see Tony Evans. And Tony Evans has a lot of good analogies. So salvation is apart from service, but it's the law is still important, but it doesn't take it. So the law is like a mirror. Mary, what does a mirror do? Of who we're, shows how to brush our teeth, comb our not hair, you know, all this other fun stuff. It shows us what's wrong with us. But the mirror itself cannot brush our teeth, comb our hair. It cannot fix the problem. The law reveals sin unto us. It shows us that we are sinners. That's it. It shows us. Now, should we follow the law? Yes, because it's beneficial for our lives, our health. You know, all these things. We should live by the law, but not for salvation. Salvation is apart from works. So one of the next great promises is John 3:16. And, but I'd like to start with John 3:15, if that's okay. Actually, I want to go to 14 because this brings up really a foreshadowing. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that's all of us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ. And whosoever, all of us are whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That means die, go to hell, but have everlasting life. Then we can go to 1 Thessalonians 1:10. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He delivered us by his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Plain and simple. Back in the day, they were consistently in the temple and burning sacrifices. You'd have priests trading off, but you can never sit down because they're constantly making the sacrifices for the people. But when Jesus came, he was the perfect sacrifice. When he died, what did it say? When he got to heaven, he sat down on the right hand side of God. No priest could sit down because it wasn't a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is to show the faithfulness of God. There hath no temptation taken you, but such in common to man, but God is faithful. Whoever will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, no matter what we're going through, the Lord's there. We just got to depend on him. We can't depend on ourselves. We can't